Now, reading this morning is in John's Gospel and chapter 1. It's always good to have your Bibles out and open. So, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Amen. And may God bless these words to us as we put our minds to see what God's got to say to us through these words this morning. I think we're constantly told in this day and age that we have to be nice. We have to be tolerant. We have to be inclusive. We have to be politically correct. And I think most of the time, that's okay. But then you come to a chapter like this, to these words that we've just read, that focus just on Jesus and put him in a high up, unique position. And it's no just quite so easy to be inclusive and to be tolerant and to be politically correct, because we've got to affirm very clearly that Jesus is God and there's no other, and he's the only one, and everything else has to submit to that truth. So we're going to think about these kind of things this morning as we look at these words. John, of course, writes this gospel, he tells us in his last chapter, particularly for folks that don't believe. So he's really wanting to draw out faith in unbelievers' hearts. And faith begins when we begin to fix our minds on Jesus. Now maybe you're all folks that already believe in Jesus, but there's still loads we can learn for how we need to live and serve this Jesus this morning. I'm not always a three-pointer when I preach, but there just happens to be 3 points this morning. And to make it easy, I've made them all sort of fit together. 3 things that John has to tell us about Jesus. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is life, and Jesus is light. So that's easy enough, isn't it? 3 things for us. The first thing, Jesus is Lord. Or maybe it's actually better just to say Jesus is God. Now that's a big thing for John to say. John was a Jew, and it was quite difficult for a Jew to actually put Jesus up there with God the Father. And it took John, as it took all the disciples, a wee while to get there. They couldn't quite accept that right off. It was too big a jump. And he kind of understands that, because in verses 1 and 2, he doesn't just state that right away. He builds up to it one step at a time. It's kind of like an onion peeling off the layers till you get right into the heart of it. So he builds it up step by step. Who is Jesus, he says? Well, the first thing he says is Jesus is somebody who has always been. He begins his gospel with the words, in the beginning. He repeats it in verse 2. He was with God in the beginning. So the first thing he says about Jesus is that Jesus was there in the beginning. You see, Jesus didn't begin at Christmas. Jesus didn't begin in that manger in Bethlehem. Jesus didn't even begin when creation happened. Clearly the implication here was he was there before the beginning. So when the beginning began, he was in the beginning, if you see what I mean. So already he's opening our minds that Jesus is more than just a person, just a man who came into this world. He's somebody else. He is something else. He's not just a teacher, a leader, a model, an example. He's more than that. Jesus has always been, he says. He was there in the beginning. Second thing he says, so he goes up a wee notch. Second thing he says, I want to tell you about Jesus, is that Jesus is God's voice. In the beginning was the Word, he says. Jesus is God's Word. Jesus is God's voice. He's the one that speaks for God. He's the one who speaks God's words. He's the one who reveals God to us. And John's telling us that when Jesus speaks, you'd better listen. Because when Jesus speaks, God is speaking. If you close your ears to what Jesus is saying, you're closing your ears to what God is saying. Because Jesus is God's actual voice. Now, way back in Proverbs, we can read these words. Now then, my sons, daughters, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. Listening to Jesus' voice. Very, very important. I once preached in a church in Ayrshire. I'm not telling you which church. But after I'd finished preaching, I'm standing at the door, shaking hands with everybody. And this woman comes out. She didn't shake my hand. She stood there. Didn't hear a single word you said, she says. In fact, not a single person in this church heard a single word you said. And she stomped off. And I thought, was the microphone no working? And I thought, but they laughed when I said something funny. And when I got serious, they looked away. They were listening. And then I realized what was happening. She didn't want to listen. She'd refused to listen. And she wanted to hurt me, as folks do sometimes when you're standing up for Jesus. Listening to Jesus, very important, because he is God's word to us. So that's the second thing. He says Jesus was in the beginning. He is God's word. Third thing he says is that Jesus is with God. Now, you'll notice he says that twice in two verses. The word was with God. Verse 1, he was with God. Verse 2. You see, sometimes we don't get the message the first time, do we? And he has to say it more than once. When I was minister at missionary in Korea, they had an expression. They said folks had dol mori. It meant stone heads. It meant the first time you spoke, it just bounced off. And you had to keep doing it to get in through the stone head for folks to hear it. Well, here is Jesus who was with God. Well, that's understandable, isn't it? If it's going to be God's voice, he would need to be with God. He'd need to be there so that God could tell him what he had to say. If he was going to speak out for God, he had to be very, very close to God. And so here he is telling us that. You see, he's building up. Jesus in the beginning. Jesus, the Word of God. Jesus with God. You ready for the conclusion? The fourth final step is that Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What a revelation for a Jew to actually write these words. Jesus Christ, not just with God, but was God. Now, as I say, it took John a wee while to get there. He'd lived with Jesus for 3 years. He'd eaten with Jesus. He had leant on his breast. He had heard all the teaching. He'd seen all the miracles. But still, it took a while before the penny dropped. He's God. Jesus is actually God. But there's God. And there's Jesus as God. How would you put that into your head? Two in one? Gets worse when you go on through the Bible, because the Holy Spirit's going to come along and there's going to be three of them. And it's one. He's one. Because they're all God together. And this is the huge thing that John is wanting to tell us in the very opening verses of his gospel. This Jesus Christ is actually God himself. Carol Bart, who's a theologian we don't always agree with, but sometimes he gets things right. He was once lecturing a group of students in Germany. Somebody said, "Sir, don't you think that God has revealed himself in other religions and not only in Christianity?" Bart's answer stunned the crowd. With a modest thunder, he said, "No, God has not revealed himself in any religion, including Christianity. He has revealed himself in Jesus. It's only in Jesus we discover who God is and what God is like." So here is this massive truth this morning. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is Lord. Alongside God, his Father, and the Holy Spirit, whom he sends amongst us. Now you see, if we grasp that, we've got to deal with Jesus. You can't shut Jesus out, because if you shut Jesus out, you're shutting God out. If you turn your back on Jesus, if you use his word as a swear word, you're using God as a swear word. You're thumbing your nose at God, because Jesus is God. On the other hand, if you've come to the point in your life where you've said to Jesus, "Will you come into my life? Will you be my Lord? Will you be my God? Will you be my Saviour?" Then who comes into your life? God. It's God who comes in to be with us and to be in us. And we have this relationship then with the one and the only, the true, the living God. So there's the first massive truth for us this morning that John puts before us. Jesus is God. Lord, really, to me, all the things begin with a letter L, but it's the same thing, isn't it? Jesus is Lord. Second major truth, Jesus is life. And this is what we have in verses 3 and 4. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus is life. Now there are a couple of things he's saying to us here when he reminds us that Jesus is life. The first thing he's really saying to us is that Jesus is actually the source of everything. He's the creator of everything. In the beginning was the Word, he says. Through him all things were made. Nothing was made that was made. Everything comes from Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure if you know your Bibles, that as soon as you read the opening words of John's Gospel, your mind thinks of the opening words of the whole Bible. John says, in the beginning was the Word, but Genesis says, in the beginning, God. And he's being clever because he's putting both these things together. Now, if you remember Genesis chapter 1, how did God create everything? He created everything by speaking. That chapter keeps saying, and God said, there was light. And God said, there were trees. And God said, there were fish, and so on. It's all just by speaking out. And who is the one that speaks out? Jesus, because Jesus is the Word of God. And so Jesus is actually the creator of everything. In the beginning was Jesus, who just by speaking created absolutely everything. And it says quite specifically there, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And you thought your mum and dad made you. But they did. But God was in that. God, Jesus, was in that. The very fact that you're here this morning is because of Jesus. Everything that was made by Jesus. It's another good reason why you need to be nice to Jesus. Why you need to open your heart to Jesus. Because where else can you go? He's the one who was right there making you and me. Jesus then is the creator of everything. He is also, according to that verse, the source of life. People ask questions about the origin of life and they keep talking about two lumps of something that happened to accidentally bash together and everything came to be from these two lumps of something. Wherever the two lumps came from, they never can tell us that, but the two lumps bash together and here we all are. Is it not just easier to believe that God said and God did it and all the wonder of what we enjoy came from that? Jesus, the source of life. The life we enjoy the now. The life that means you can sit there at the moment breathing. And just keep breathing. It's annoying if you stop breathing in the middle of the service. But the very fact that you're breathing comes from Jesus. Jesus is the source of our physical life. But not just physical life. Because every one of us, the Bible tells us, has a great empty bit inside our hearts. A hunger, a need, a longing for something. Something more. That spiritual bit of us aches for something, for meaning, for purpose, for what it's all about. How can that be met? That can only be met by Jesus. By the Spirit of Jesus. Because he's the source of it. And well, of course, the day's coming when we're all going to be dead, aren't we? Happens to everybody. Nobody knows when that's going to happen. My son-in-law in Glasgow is a gym instructor. And a 47-year-old last Friday dropped dead in his class. Healthy, vigorous. Just like that. Nobody knows. So there's death facing each of us at some point. And what about after? What about life after death? What about eternity? Is Jesus the source of that? Well, the Bible tells us he is, doesn't it? That if we come to know Jesus now, our eternal life with him is secure. Jesus is the source of every kind of life, if we trust him, if we lean on him, if we give our lives to him. Stories told at the end of the war, some American soldiers found some little German orphans And they took them in, and their little kids, they couldn't sleep at night because of all the trauma that they'd been through. And finally, one of them hit on an idea. He gave each of the children a roll, a bread roll, to hold at night when they went to bed. And they were told, you've not to eat that till the morning. And because they were holding on to the bread, they knew that tomorrow there would be bread. What does the Bible say about Jesus? Jesus is the bread of life. If we hold on to the source of life, we'll be there in some shape or form tomorrow. Jesus is the source of life. Story is also told of an old man and his son. The old man was very rich, and both of them loved art. And they spent their lives going round the art places and buying famous artists' paintings. But then the son had to go off to war, and the son was killed in the war. And after the war, there was a knock at the old man's door, and the man opened it, and there was a man standing there in a soldier's uniform. And he says, I've come just to tell you about your son. And while I was with your son, I did this wee drawing. It wasn't a very good drawing, but it was a drawing of the son. So the old man had it framed and hung it above the mantelpiece. Now, when he died, there was to be a big auction of all the wonderful art that the old man had accumulated, and the art world hugely excited about the whole thing. But when the auction started, the auctioneer said, first thing is this little drawing here. Nobody wanted it. It was a rubbish drawing. Wasn't he good? But the auctioneer says, well, we can't carry on until somebody's bought it. Who'll give me something? So somebody shouted out a minimal sum to buy the thing, to get on with the thing. Soon as the picture was bought, the auctioneer said, the sale's over. What do you mean the sale's over? Oh, the old man had decreed in his will that whoever got the son got the rest. Whoever gets Jesus gets the rest of everything that God has to offer us. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is life. And third, of course, Jesus is light. And that takes up the very end there of verse 4. And life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Then it talks about John the Baptist coming as a witness to that light, and that Jesus is the true light. So the focus finally is that Jesus is light. Now this is what John's wanting to communicate with his whole gospel. Because as I said at the beginning, this gospel was written particularly for people who don't believe. People who are in darkness. First thing he tells us here is Jesus is the light which shines in the darkness. You see, when sin came into the world, when Adam and Eve committed that first sin, it was kind of like as if the lights went out. And darkness came in. Sin came in. People couldn't see the truth. They couldn't see the way. They couldn't really see God. Darkness had come into the world the moment Adam and Eve sinned. Jesus comes in as the light to begin to shine in all of that darkness. We read about it in Isaiah at Christmas time. We read about how Jesus would come and he would be the light, don't we? There's indications right through the Old Testament that the light is coming. And so Jesus comes as the light. But it tells us here, the trouble is when the light shines in the darkness does not understand it. That's why millions of people walk by Jesus. They don't think of Jesus. They won't have Jesus because they're in darkness. Their minds are in darkness. They need the light switched on. They need the light to begin to shine into that darkness that has gripped their heads and minds. When I was ministering in Stornoway, there was a young couple suddenly popped up in church. I thought, oh aye, they're wanting marriage. And sure enough, they sat there for a few weeks looking bored out their minds, getting through what they had to get through. So anyway, we did the marriage because I believe in getting involved in folks' lives. And then they disappeared, of course. And then, a bit later, they popped back. They've had a wane. They're wanting it baptised. So they sat there, bored to death. But then after a week or two, I noticed Ruddy, the man, sitting up. Not quite so bored. And after a week or two, he actually began to lean forward when I was preaching. And I thought, the light's been switched on. The light has begun in his head. And just at that time, we were starting our first ever Christianity Explored course, just at the right time for him. And so he booked to come, and his wife said, oh, I'll come with you the first night just to keep you company. She came every night. The two of them came every night. And at the end of the course, they'd given their lives to Jesus. They didn't understand at the beginning. They were in darkness. But as they sat under the word of God, and I'm sorry, but that's often how it happens. Because faith comes by hearing. The light was switched on and they began to open their hearts to more and more of the light. That's how it works. That's why if you're not just quite there yet with Jesus, you need to keep coming. You need to keep listening. Because as you listen, God will open your heart and faith will come in to your heart. Now, to help folks get ready for Jesus, John tells us here, of course, that he sent John the Baptist to be a witness. He makes it very plain that John was not the light. He was just the witness of the light coming. Because Jesus is the only one who is the light. But the relevance for us today is that if you are one of God's people, you are now the light that is the witness to the light. So it's your job to be the John the Baptist for folks that don't know who Jesus is yet. You're not the light. You cannot make people believe. Sometimes it can be very frustrating. You can tell folks, your neighbours, your friends, whatever, again and again about Jesus, and they don't. You can't do that. God, because Jesus is the light. But we've still to be the witness. We have to be the one that shines for Jesus, to prepare people for the light. I'm sure we've all had people in our lives that have been the John the Baptist for us. The ones who've witnessed Jesus. It's Jesus you need. Open your heart to Jesus. And the days come when we have. Maybe it's not just one. It can be two or three or four different people down the time to bring us to faith. But here is what he's saying. We have to witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is the light. And he is the only light that we need. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. No one else can bring us to God. No other religious leader can bring anyone to God. Only Jesus. Only Jesus is the light of the world. So we need to stand up for him. We need to proclaim him. We need to witness for him. Somebody wrote, fundamentally, our Lord's message was himself. He didn't come merely to preach a gospel. He himself is the gospel. He didn't come merely to give bread. He said, I am the bread. He didn't come merely to shed light. He said, I am the light. He didn't come merely to show us the door. He said, I am the door. He didn't come merely to name a shepherd. He said, I am the shepherd. He didn't come just to point the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Who is this Jesus this morning? Well, John says, he is Lord. He is life. He is light. And we all do well to trust him and follow him with our hearts and with our lives. Amen.